From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Just over a month after President Trump announced during a State of the Union address that he hopes to end HIV in the next decade, his Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar traveled to a CDC conference in Atlanta to provide more details on the plan. Azar sat down with GPB's Robert Jemison to talk about how he hopes to implement the initiative across the country at the federal level and how the administration plans to put significant resources in place in the hardest hit areas of the country, most of which are in the South, including four metro Atlanta counties.
So in your speech today, you talked about treating every new HIV diagnosis from this point forward as a public health failure. Yeah. With the new money allocated, the data, the tools, how are you guys going to go forward? What tools are you going to use to curtail that number of the 40,000 new diagnoses each year?
So there are really four things that we've got to do. The first, we've got to get people diagnosed. You know, 80% of new HIV cases in the United States come from individuals who either have not been diagnosed or who know they have HIV but are not in treatment. So we've got to reach out to them. But here's the really wonderful thing with the data. It's a very focused problem. 50% of new HIV cases are coming from 48 counties, DC and San Juan, Puerto Rico. Four of them are right here in Georgia: Cobb, DeKalb, Gwinnett, and Fulton counties. And they'll get a very focused effort on them. So that's what we're doing, is we're adding to the $3.4 billion we already spend on HIV and AIDS prevention and treatment in the United States with an additional program that's very geographically and demographically focused.
So let's talk about the counties and the target areas across the country. $291 million in the first year in the proposed 2020 budget. What can we see in the areas like the four counties in Metro Atlanta in the first year with that $291 million? What partnerships are you forging? What are you directing the directors of departments under you to do in that first year?
Well, actually, the largest tranche of money in that $291 million will go right here to the CDC in Atlanta. Over $140 million will go to the CDC with very targeted efforts to keep refining our data so that we know we've got to know the people we have to reach. And if we can get to them, we can get them on treatment, we can get them prevented from further spread. We also are going to send Surge, a HIV healthcare workforce, out to assist states and counties. Because what do we have to do? We have to diagnose people who are currently stigmatized or not being reached. Those include men who have sex with men, individuals in the gay, bisexual community. It involves African Americans. It involves Latinos, Alaska Natives, and American Indians. And we've got to really focus that effort to reach them and get them diagnosed. Once we get them diagnosed, we got to get them treated. Mm-hmm. Because if you take the antiretroviral treatments and get your viral load to undetectable levels, undetectable equals untransmissible. You literally can't transmit HIV to somebody else. And then we reach the people who don't have HIV, who are at high risk of getting HIV. And if we can get them on this drug, it's called PrEP, you can have a 97% reduction of the chance of getting HIV. And then finally, we respond. We will have outbreaks. 10% of new HIV cases come as a result of the opioid or drug crisis in the country from injectable drug disease, use of injectable drugs. And we'll have outbreaks. And we've got to respond. We'll have a surge force to be able to propel in to deal with those response activities.
Now, two things you just mentioned there that I want to follow up with. You talked about the treatments. The medicine has come a long way over the past several decades. What about the cost of the medications? How are we going to keep people on the medications once they get on and not risk lowering that effectiveness after they lapse a treatment because of insurance lapse, or they fall into a coverage gap, or they're in a state that hasn't expanded Medicaid? How are we going to make sure that those patients who need those medications can afford it and have access?
So many of the individuals who have HIV get access to treatment as well as medication through the Ryan White HIV AIDS program and the ADAPT program. So the antiretroviral drugs are provided through that program, and the states and the centers actually work with us to procure those medicines and get them provided, of course, to lower income individuals. We're funding also $50 million to the Health Resources and Service Administration's community health centers, where, again, so many individuals in those particular disadvantaged communities seek their health care, and through that they can get what is federal government discounted pricing for the PrEP drug that prevents the transmission of HIV to individuals. So we're working on a comprehensive approach to get people on treatment, stay on treatment, and get them on the PrEP if they're at risk of getting the disease.
And you also mentioned the stigma associated with HIV. So how does your department work with the communities, work with your partners to curtail the stigma? That's not a health topic. There's not science behind removing a stigma. So how do you guys hope to attack that stigma, especially, you know, in Atlanta and the South and other parts of the Bible Belt where religious conservatives really struggle with issues of unprotected sex, condoms, premarital sex, which all have links to HIV?
Well, I think it's just very important that we treat this as a public health issue. It's about a disease, and it's about individuals getting to the disease. And we've got to educate individuals that there's no stigma in being treated for a disease or preventing the spread of a disease. And so you're right. So much of the issue of spread of the disease is happening in 7 more rural states and often in the South, and particularly rural communities in the South. We face issues where individuals who should be on this PrEP product, the prevention product, won't get it because they don't want to go into the pharmacy and call out and have a pharmacist actually say, hey, Joe Smith, I've got your PrEP, and have people then associate you with various behaviors, or to your antiretroviral therapy. And so this is where these interventions are going to be so important in a very localized way, because we're going to actually be discovering with state and local public health partners how best to reduce that stigma and help people. It might involve mail order. Maybe it's getting people's PrEP delivered to them in a brown bag at home so they don't have any issue of stigma on getting the medicines. But we'll learn with these very localized, focused efforts tailored to each community.
So the stigma goes both ways. Some public health departments in states and counties are doing things to actively advertise PrEP or, you know, promote access, but they're afraid to put a state seal on it or a county logo on it because they're afraid of backlash from their legislature or the local community. How do you guys work with the governments in these local areas to curtail that stigma as well?
Well, we'll certainly lead by example. Having the President of the United States and the State of the Union declare this as a public health issue and having his personal commitment around it, talk about a way to deal with and confront stigma there. Secondly, you're going to see the HHS logo, the CDC logo, the HRSA logo, the FDA logo, the NIH logo, all the great and incredible brands of this department all over everything, and I hope states and state public health departments will follow our lead.
U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar speaking there with GPB's Robert Jemison. For more information on the plan, go to gpbnews.org.